yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it, weekend editions here at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Damon Barr is manning the Millennium Falcon back at the ESPN Lincoln Studios. We're here in the rail yard.
A subdued rail yard.
We are wearing sleeves and hoodies today.
Mm-hmm. Not you. You're still looking like Martha's Vineyard style. You are ready to go, man. Where's the lobster roll?
The lobster roll.
You're good to go.
We're boiling the lobster
khakis,
right now.
Khakis, leather shoes, quarter zip. I mean, you look good. No, I'm not saying that, but you just don't.
Damn right, I look good.
Don't look like you're tailgating or anything.
We need the red and the white options for wine.
Well,
I'll put my pinky and nose in the air this morning, Kranak. Let's just continue the old stereotype.
Let's do it.
We're high above the rail yard here in the wonderful offices of Hail Varsity and Herdat. We are excited. It is Nebraska-Wisconsin week.
Excited?
We may be the only two excited folks here.
I'm scared. What are you excited about?
Well, you're scared?
Yes.
Here's we're going to have the happy medium, right? You've had two beatdowns by Bucky. All right, the Badgers have blown out Nebraska twice in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and there's been a couple close ones
in
there.
And there's been two close games. And the two close games it turned out kind of bad in 2017. But it was tied in the third quarter.
It was.
And then Wisconsin said, hey, watch this. And they ran the ball 25 straight times.
Yeah, they didn't even throw it once.
They put Hornibrook in the old timeout, where you are going to turn and hand off to Ogie.
Isn't he at Florida State now?
He's watching at Florida State.
How's that working for him?
You know what? It would have been either he's watching in ACC country or he's watching in Big Ten country.
That's true, yeah.
So the thing that we can watch for is the reemergence of an Adrian Martinez today.
Maybe.
Can watch for a renewed energy from Nebraska football. That was a talking point and theme. Mm-hmm. And then this is what stuck with me on Thursday, and here's Coach Frost. Let's open up with a little bit of the vast majority, shall we?
Sometimes you get in the midst of the season, and every day is kind of the same, and it can be a grind. And you gotta, during that grind, look up and realize where you are and let that renew your spirit and your energy. A vast majority of our guys love each other, love being around each other, love football, are excited about the improvements they've made and where everything's going. And I think a little bit of time off lets you stop and realize where you're at. And I've really seen a boost of energy this week, so hopefully it carries over to Saturday.
Vast majority of guys.
Some of those guys not in the vast majority.
A little minority of guys that aren't any good.
A walk-on that is in the transfer portal.
Yep. And then Tyron Ferguson,
man. And I've been...
Now, that guy, he would have been... Now, coming into the year, he was a guy that people thought were going to start.
We all like.
You were sort of counting on him.
Fergie had six games a year ago. Mm-hmm. Was second on the team for tackles for loss. You saw how well he played against Colorado and Michigan State when he wasn't injured a year ago. Played early against the Buffs this year.
Yeah.
And he just disappeared. And there had to be frustration with his playing time. I'm sure there was frustration.
Well, his head was somewhere else, right?
The coaches with his commitment level.
Yep.
And you see what a mess Nebraska has been at the outside linebacker spot this year, specifically getting after the quarterback or stopping the run. So,
Which is kind of your duty as an outside linebacker, and you just listed off the two things they're not doing well.
No, and guess.
But they're lining up good, maybe?
I don't
wearing
know.
The uniform well?
I don't know.
But they're not tackling people, and they're not rushing the quarterback. Other than that, they're playing great ball.
It's been spectacular. Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor are just like, jeez, well done,
but,
gentlemen.
Look, I know people are kind of sick of the whole culture war sort of thing.
But
right?
it's real.
It is. Well, and that's the point. Is like, you know, Frost has talked about it a lot, and I think when you're losing, that gets frustrating. You're like, would you just win? Please,
win. It's a part of the why they're losing.
It's completely a part of it. And we'll see if that pays off, right? Like, there is such a thing as addition by subtraction. Mm-hmm. And he has alluded to it all year where he's never put it in terms where he's like, you know, there's a few guys here that just don't get it and aren't trying hard. instead, he's like, you know, the vast majority of our guys are committed and are on the boat, insinuating that there are a few that aren't. Mm-hmm. And so you have a couple departures this week, which kind of came out of nowhere. It's a weird time of year to have departures, well, by the way. There's only like three games left, and you have two guys that are finally folding the tent and are leaving. So that's kind of a strange thing. And then on top of that, what does he do with the black shirts? He awards two black shirts to guys that are not defensive starters. Now, Garrett Nelson plays some.
Playing more.
He's been playing more, right? You take a black shirt away from Caleb Tanner. Mm-hmm. So there are clearly some like mental things going on. There's some continuity stuff going on. There's some camaraderie, whatever you want to call it. Like there's some behind the scenes stuff that is clearly like a little bit of a volcano that's happening right now that they're trying to deal with. And awarding Damian Jackson, who does not play, but everybody knows his story, former Navy SEAL, works harder than freaking anybody,
Elder
of course.
Elder statesman of the program, does things mid-20s. The right way on and off the
right.
field.
So you give him a black shirt, and then you give Garrett Nelson, who's kind of like Damian Jackson, you know, reincarnated in some ways, but Nebraska boy that actually does play. Awarding those guys black shirts over others, taking them away from like a Caleb Tanner. It's you can tell there are some things going on right now behind the scenes that are probably affecting what you see actually on the field.
That's accurate. The other part of this thing, too, is if you're going to preach accountability, there needs to be action if there's been inaction. Okay? And if you've got guys that aren't doing what they need to do or performing up to the level you think they can be at, then that's when you make a move. Here is Garrett Nelson. Damon, let's do cut one here. Nelson's reaction to getting that black shirt.
Now we're going to do every day and I got to go pay it. I don't think they really needed to say anything. I think this was the biggest thing that they could have said. Hopefully my mom doesn't cry.
Yeah. He was all tears, lots of passion, lots of emotion. He's a guy that's going hard during practice, maybe rubbing some people wrong, but guess what? You need that type of practice effort to become Saturday effort, and that'll be a big test here with Nebraska today. Wisconsin's going to hold the football. Wisconsin's going to run the football. Wisconsin's going to blitz the hell out of you on first and 10 and third and six. Okay, so how do you react to it? And are you going to sign up for four quarters of this hell? Or at some point, are you ready to push away from the table?
Yeah, and it's funny that Garrett Nelson gets a black shirt this week because Wisconsin is loaded with Garrett Nelsons.
They wanted Garrett Nelson.
You know, right. Like they're loaded with guys like that. Right now, people like Garrett Nelson are sort of the exception on the team. And Frost is more or less telegraphing, like, no, that's not going to be the exception. That's going to be the rule of how we roll. Because, look, we've talked about this before, too. Nebraska's not going to win like Miami wins or like Texas wins or Ohio State. You're not going to out-talent anybody.
Not all the time.
No, you're going to be about development, and you're going to be about just this ridiculous kind of hard work, this never say die, this chip on your shoulder, with all those cliches that you can think of. But if you have an entire roster of people that play like that, and then you sprinkle in some talent, you have a chance. And that's exactly what Nebraska is facing today in Wisconsin.
Well, it's been
exactly what they're facing.
It's been their formula for decades when it was rolling. You get the linemen from Nebraska. You get the defensive linemen from like a Terry Keneally or a John Perella. Well, and then you go get a guy like Broderick or Jason Peter or Grant Wistrom or Bad Mother Rucker. I mean, just lay out the names. That I hit a lot of Midwest guys, one Jersey guy. But that's what you do. Your heart beats the Nebraska kids or the Midwest kids.
People don't want to hear that, though.
Well, but that's what won. That's what made things work for 50 years.
Yeah, and that's what is working for Wisconsin right now. Greg Smith did a good piece in Hail Varsity about where do these offensive linemen come from, right, from Wisconsin.
They come from Wisconsin.
All five of them.
Barry's going to talk about that in about 15 minutes.
Think about that. All five of their offensive linemen for Wisconsin, who is universally regarded as having basically the top offensive line year in and year out.
Them in Iowa.
Yeah, sort of like a top three in the country in terms of offensive line play. All those guys are from Wisconsin. Two of them weren't even ranked. They didn't have any stars. They weren't two stars. They weren't three stars. They didn't even have any stars. Two of them weren't even ranked. One guy is a four star. The other two are three stars. And you're talking about it, and this isn't unique to this year. That's sort of kind of how they always roll. They have local guys. They develop the hell out of them. They're completely committed to the program. They completely understand their identity, and they end up being killer ball players. Killer. And that's what Nebraska's facing today. It's life comes at you fast today. That's why I'm not excited for today. I'm more like, oh no, not again.
I know, and that's right? that's where your mind goes with Nebraska, Wisconsin, and you know, this was supposed to be another big ball game in Lincoln.
Could become one.
Yeah, let's see if Nebraska wants to participate. Okay, because you know Wisconsin's going to show up. They're still ticked off about what happened against the Illini. Do you blow a 9-point lead and turn it over twice in the fourth quarter very often? No, you don't if you're Wisconsin. So does Nebraska have enough salt today to go 12 rounds, i.e. four quarters, with Wisconsin? Listen, it'd be great if Nebraska won to get closer to six wins or beyond. Mm-hmm. It'd be great if Nebraska took down another ranked team. But this set the tone for the rest of the season, because you go out and play well enough to win.
Yeah.
Nebraska has not done that.
At all.
Since Northern Illinois.
Nope. No.
Can you go play well enough to win and let the chips fall where they fall?
Yeah.
It's all I care about today. If I'm a Nebraska fan, yeah, sorry to give you the moral victory speech here at 7:20, but that's what – go play ball. Go want to be there for four quarters.
Yeah, right.
As a collective team.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be important, too. You've got seniors. You've got some seniors that have been playmakers on the defensive side of the ball for you. Mm-hmm. Well, one of your senior mates got tossed this week in
right.
Ferguson.
Yeah.
And if things don't go well and you tap out,
yeah,
guess what? There's going to be more Garrett Nelson's taking your playing time moving forward.
Yeah. That could start by halftime today.
Well, I mean, I want to see a Robinson. I want to see a Jakeem Green.
Well, and that's been the plan. Now, that's interesting that you just bring it. And we're just now getting around to that at 7:18.
And I want to see five down linemen today. Mm-hmm. I want to throw back to the old 52 defense.
Well, stop it.
I'm serious.
Well, I guess
I'll put on my Petco jersey. You throw on your Pat Tyrants jersey. And we'll go play some Smash Mouth football
now,
in the front yard.
Now, you did bring up something interesting that just kind of snuck by this week. There wasn't a ton of talk about it, probably because everybody's sort of, you know, fed up with the season, period. But it was announced that Jakeem Green, big JUCO defensive tackle/end that was brought in this year, people were hoping could, you know, contribute right away. He's basically redshirted. But he's got the four-game rule. He's already played a little bit. So, and then they said the plan all along was to get him ready for this run. So
it's
what
Iowa,
does he?
It's Nebraska.
So what does he bring? We don't really know. We haven't seen the guy
Wisconsin.
Yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what does he bring to the table? How much does he change the dynamic? He could change it quite a bit. Body type wise, he's a guy that Nebraska doesn't have.
No, he's a big dude with lots of power, and he's an SEC footwork talent. I mean, he's got that combination. Mm-hmm. Where's he at? How many snaps can he give you? What does Darian Daniels have for you today? He's been nursing that.
Dale, too. No,
same with Wandale. We'll get to that.
Yep.
But how about Damian Daniels?
Yeah.
Little brother.
Yeah.
Little brother looked good against Iowa a year ago.
Exactly. He was the one guy that was.
It stopped the bleeding.
Well, he was, you know, because Iowa's offensive line was essentially surging all game. I think Damian only had like 15 snaps against Iowa last year, but he changed where the line of scrimmage was.
Yeah, it stopped moving.
Yeah.
It stopped moving against Nebraska with him.
Well, and, you know, that is giving me maybe a little bit of hope right now, actually, now that I think
by
this
through.
By talking
you into some.
You're not talking me into it. It's just the more I think about it, you know, what is Nebraska kind of, what is their strength defensively? You would have to say it's their defensive line. Even though they're not getting a ton of pressure, they're not really supposed to when you have a three-man front, right? But generally speaking, and then Frost said it this, he's like, you know, most of the rushing yards this year are not on the defensive line.
It's
on linebackers, it's on whatever. So if you go with more of those guys and you're deeper there today than you normally are, and you're going and your defensive line play is at a premium against an offense like Wisconsin, oh my God, Chris, it might be a 21-point win for Nebraska today.
Keep talking.
Yeah. Okay.
So
maybe not.
I took Mama Bunny.
Yeah.
To dinner last night. Got done with the show
nice
at the Graduate.
Very
well,
nice.
We try
of
and
you.
Do date night once a week. She got off work, took her to a new place, and I'm sitting there waiting for her, and I'm at the bar, which shocks nobody in the room.
Yeah.
And there's this guy there, and he may try and sell you a car. He might try and lift your wallet. He's that type of dude.
He might be listening right now.
Good. He knows who he is. He's a little slippery, but he was a little entertaining.
Okay.
So he's there with his buddy, and his buddy's wife is there, okay? Mm-hmm. So she's coming down to tailgate because it's going to be nice weather.
Okay.
The husband and his buddy are scheming how to get over to Ameristar.
In Lincoln, they're saying this.
Yeah. They're saying, look, I need 4 hours. You let me go put $6,000 on Wisconsin tomorrow.
Oh, God.
You'll be happy. Just let us – he's lobbying for a hall pass to go put
for
money.
For driving an hour and a half to Council Bluffs.
To go to Ameristar, go to the sports book, put money on Wisconsin.
Put down $6,000 on Wisconsin.
Yeah, because this sales pitch was fantastic.
Yeah, sounds good.
And maybe they're driving now. Maybe they're still at the boats. I don't know. but that's the mood in town between logging on to StubHub, Earl Boy Gorman's like, yeah, you can get to the stadium today for $18.
Oh, jeez.
You know how many times growing up we've had to shell out extra for seats?
Yes.
Because of big games?
Yes.
And right now that hope is gone.
People are scared.
People are not just scared. They're sick of getting their hopes up.
I know.
And having Lucy take the football away.
No, it's too emotional.
That's where Nebraska fans are at right now. I blame the freaking Colorado game for this.
Yeah, I know. That's where it all went south.
They've got PTSD once they get a lead on somebody of double digits.
Yeah.
And it turns into, oh, God, what bad is going to happen? How does this crumble?
There's a collective mental midget thing going on that just needs to get exercised. Just need to exercise that demon.
This house is clear.
I mean, seriously. And I think that's what Frost is always trying to say, and it gets frustrating to hear because you're like, just win, please. Just don't give up record rushing yards to insert opponent here.
I feel bad for him in this instance where it's coming to a head right now where you either sit guys that aren't doing their job.
Yeah.
That do give you the best chance to win when they do their job.
Right.
And go young, take your lumps, learn from it. Guys that aren't going to be scarred for life if they get pancaked by a Wisconsin offensive lineman because they're young and they don't know any better.
Right.
And they've got 3 more years of getting even time.
Yeah.
You either move on from what hasn't worked.
I think halftime is when that happens today. If Wisconsin comes out and they're up by 21, I think at halftime you start to see the dawn of the new era.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happens today, literally. I don't think you keep trotting. Just go do yourself a favor. Go look at Nebraska's statistics and go look, especially defensively. Look at it offensively, too. And just look at the disparity in actual production from the guys that play. It's crazy. Dude, there are enough people defensively, especially, that just flat out don't log any damn numbers. You know what I mean? And it's not that they're bad kids. It's not that they don't try hard. But they flat out don't contribute.
They just go punch the clock.
They're just on the team. Like, dude, I have as many sacks as some of the guys that play. That's not good. Right?
You are tenacious off the edge.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. But, I mean, think about that for a second. Right? Like, guys who are playing positions which lend themselves to getting a sack or a tackle fraud just flat out don't have any. Like, zero. You're just like, you can't keep trotting those dudes out there. You just can't. And I don't know. And so I think he's been in a sort of a rock and a hard place because those are the guys that understand the defense. Maybe they mentally get it. They try hard. They're whatever. But they're just flat out
during practice.
Yeah.
But there's no results
at all. And it's just there are too many guys. And then go look at offensively. Just go look at like wide receiver production this year.
I don't want to.
It is brutal. I mean, it is crazy. Like, this is an offense, too, that is known for everywhere it's been installed. Oregon, Central Florida, hell, even Nebraska to a degree last year. The love gets spread around, and everybody gets a piece of the action. Everybody gets catches. Everybody gets rushes.
You need more than two guys. That's all they got.
It's unbelievable.
You've got guys that can't get open this year.
Flat out.
You have guys that are not progressing or developing by their choice
or
whatever.
They're just kind of on the team.
They are. And you've got a bunch of little guys, and I mean that with all due respect, and a guy like Spielman and Wandale
right.
that are your best weapons, but you got too many in the same slot type body mm-hmm. type. You don't have big dudes to go get the football on the edge.
Well, Chris Hickman, that's going to be interesting. The freshman out of Omaha,
Burke. I'm glad
they moved
him to wide out. Throw him the football, man.
Yeah. That was one guy's high school film that was really impressive.
He was fun.
Yeah. He's tight end, defensive end type that they've moved to a wide receiver. That tells you something, by the way. I mean, what does that tell you? Here's a kid that, hold on, he's a tight end. Mm-hmm. He's a freshman. They move him to receiver, and he's going to play.
Because he's got size, he's got attitude, and he's physical.
He's going to displace people that you sort of – yeah, he's going to displace people that you thought were going to contribute that, again, go look at the statistics, have maybe contributed two catches this year.
It's been absolutely rough for the receiving corps, and it's kind of
Well, isn't this a peppy morning?
Well, it's all right. You've got your coffee, and I see your tickets there, and it's got Tommy Frazier slapping a Florida Gator on the head.
Yeah, it's good ticket design this year.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, this is supposed to be one of those games you circled. We'll hear from a guy who has reincarnated Nebraska football for decades up north. That is Barry Alvarez.
Does he revel in it? Does he revel in his alma mater? Just you know, I wonder how he feels deep inside.
Well, I mean,
he's an alum.
He's a black shirt. I mean,
he's a black shirt. He patterned his whole program off of Nebraska. Like, he can't like what he sees, but maybe he does a little. I don't know. That's got to be weird for him. He's got to be conflicted.
Well, there's probably a little sadness, but I mean, you'll hear in a little bit. He's 1,000% all in on Scott Frost.
Well, he was with Riley and Callahan too. Let's be honest.
I've heard him. He's been on with us enough for the decades.
Yeah.
That's a humble brag there. I've heard him talk about the previous staffs before. I have not heard him talk about previous staffs like the head man now.
Okay. So you're saying it was sort of lip service before.
It was not lip service, but he was being kind.
Right. Cordial.
Cordial.
Maybe knows those guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, because
Callahan coached for him.
Callahan and Cosgrove worked for him.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
And with Riley, I mean, his Badger team went out there in an early Bielema era and got beat 10-7.
Right.
So there have been moments. We didn't get into the Sherman Ader I course at all. You know, we stayed away from that. But pretty good stuff. The rail yard is going to get kicked off.
What time do you think people will start filling in down there?
Well, as long as Nick Gregeth is opening cocktails for people.
Oh, okay.
It's happening right now.
What time things open, Nick? 8? Is that 8 o'clock? So 8 o'clock is when people start filling
in. That is code for Kranach needs a vodka tonic.
That's not true.
That's okay.
Need a vodka soda.
A vodka soda.
Yeah, tonic tastes terrible.
Lime or lemon. No, I disagree. Soda is way, way worse than tonic.
Soda is just water with bubbles.
Uh-huh, and it's all
tonic is like, what the hell is that?
It's a little different. It's not Squirt. It's not Sprite. It's not 7-Up.
It tastes like how B.O. smells, kind of. It's not good.
I didn't know B.O. had a taste.
Me either until I tried tonic.
Let's buckle up here real quick. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Hail Varsity Radio Weekend. We are down here in the rail yard getting your Nebraska-Wisconsin weekend kicked off. Party going to be raging shortly here in the rail yard. We're in the offices Again, we are wearing sleeves and hoodies this morning.
Yep.
A little bit brisk for us to be outdoors, but come on down. We're getting rolling here till 9 o'clock. Real Red Reaction. Myself, Tim Bob Kitzmiller, Jeremiah Searles will have postgame immediately following the Nebraska upset. Immediately following the Nebraska-Wisconsin
It's going to be a therapy session.
Contest. Man. Well, we've had a lot of therapy, man. People need more meds, and they're sick of couch time. Without further ado, a quick timeout. Damon Barr is going to get us our conversation with longtime Husker and longtime head coach of Wisconsin and athletic director Barry Alvarez. A quick timeout. Back with more on Hail Varsity Weekend, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
A few minutes, and College Football Hall of Famer, standout Husker, athletic director and coach at Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez with us. Coach, Nebraska-Wisconsin week, how are you?
I'm good. Good. Always look forward to coming into Lincoln and seeing some old friends and reminiscing a little bit.
You guys have come into Lincoln a lot, and they've been some tight ball games. They've not been so tight of ball games. When you look at your Wisconsin squad this year, how do you think your kids have rebounded after the Illinois misstep?
You know, that was a game that was really surprising to me because we had played so clean to start the season, even our first game. We didn't beat ourselves. You know, very few penalties, very few turnovers. And that was a game where we probably had five or six mistakes on third down defensively, which allowed them to keep the ball. We missed a chip shot field goal. We turned the ball over the last two possessions we had. You know, that was very disappointing. I was really surprised how we played. The next week, you know, I thought we competed hard against Ohio State. That may be one of the better teams I've seen since I've been in the Big Ten. And I just thought we knew going into the Iowa game, we knew what type of game that was going to be. And surprised us the way the thing went down. You know, we anticipated a four-quarter game, very physical, and I thought our guys responded very well.
Barry Alvarez with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to go back to Ohio State for a second, and you've seen a lot of really talented Big Ten teams. You've seen teams compete for a national championship out of the Big Ten. You've seen a team win a title out of the Big Ten, and you've been on the doorstep a couple of times yourself. And what sticks out to you so much about this Ohio State team? And you've also served on the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, so you've seen and you've decided. Where does Ohio State kind of stack up with what you've seen and what makes them so talented this year?
Well, there are no weaknesses on that team. The quarterback transfer from Georgia has really upgraded the quarterback position. He's big. I understand he runs under 4.4, throws it very well. You know, he can extend the play. They've got big-time receivers, a lot of speed, good running backs. Offensively, they're very talented. Defensively, you know, you've got to account for the one defensive end, Chase Young. They can play a press man all over the field. I don't see a weakness. They've got tremendous speed. They've recruited very well. They've got a very good scheme offensively where they're wide open. They're going to put points on you. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to score with them, and their defense is very difficult. It's very difficult to do that. As I said, it's one of the better teams I've seen in the Big Ten.
What's your take on the West? I mean, you guys are playing good football. Minnesota's unbeaten, landmark victory for Coach Fleck. Lovey's bowl eligible. And the Northwestern's not having a great year, but they won the West a year ago. What's your impression of the West here in 2019?
Yeah, I think the West surprised people. I think the West is deep, very competitive. You know, a lot of teams that can knock each other off. You know, I think Ohio State may be the most talented, mm-hmm. but on the West, I think we've got a number of teams that are very talented.
A few minutes here. Barry Alvarez with us, Hail Varsity Radio. When you look at Nebraska this year, lofty expectations and still working through some things, what sticks out about year two for Scott Frost and this Nebraska crew to you?
Yeah, I see improvement. I was impressed a year ago with your quarterback, and you know, to be successful, you've got to have a good quarterback. That's a good place to start. I'm really impressed with him. Some explosive players. Spielman, from the time he showed up there, is a home run hitter, and the shorter back,
Robinson.
Yes, he's explosive. I see a good team, very dangerous team, very competitive team.
Coach, you took over Wisconsin in 1990, and I was talking with a guy who loves you a lot, Mel Tucker, before the Colorado game, and I know he played for you, and he said to me that you said, "We're heading to the Rose Bowl before you guys get out of here." You had a vision. And I said, "Well, did you believe it?" And he's like, "Absolutely, I believed it." And lo and behold, you're in the Rose Bowl, and what you did is still talked about today. How did you approach your first head job and the build at Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I think you have to have a plan for success, have a vision on how you want to do things. It has to fit where you are. I knew Wisconsin very well. I knew the type of players you could consistently recruit. I had a vision of the type of team we had to be to build a good foundation. And, you know, in Wisconsin, you're going to always be able to get linemen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get big kids here. And so it all starts with building a good offensive line and a physical defensive line, and building a team that doesn't beat itself, that's good fundamentally. And, you know, we develop players. Our high school football, you're not playing spring ball. You have to develop those guys, and you have to take a look and see where they are and project how they'll grow and how good they can get. You know, so you have to know athletically what type of athlete you're getting, all those things. And then, you know, I stole a lot of the things I learned at Nebraska with the walk-on program. Like Nebraska, we have one Division I school in the state. These kids want to play in bowl games. This school is very difficult to get into, and a lot of the guys want to come here instead of maybe going to a 1AA or MAC school. So we worked very hard on walk-ons, and they really gave us depth. And I don't think any Rose Bowl team, I think we've been to 6 Rose Bowls since I've been here, and every one of them has had walk-ons as captains. So, you know, those are just some of the things that we did. We had a plan, we stuck to it, and we got everybody to touch the football program on the same page.
Coach, you've done a great job finding walk-ons and through your guys' development and the kids' hard work as well, becoming stars beyond just contributors. I mean, they've been major players. You've touched on the captains. Tell me how you're able to evaluate a kid that you think can pop, and you've talked to me before about those walk-ons being the erasers, right? They allow you to make mistakes if you're not
sure. You're
going
to make mistakes in recruiting.
You are,
You're going to make – I went back and did a study on all 16 years, and I hit 50% on the kids that we signed. And so if you bring in 20 walk-ons, and let's say 6 of them make it each mm-hmm. year, you know, that takes your percentage way up. And they're players, and they give you depth and allows you to practice well.
Yeah. What did you see in J.J. Watt that wowed you?
J.J. was a tight end coming out of high school. Brett Bielema didn't offer him. He went to, Central Michigan.
Yeah.
And then after a year, he called us and wanted a transfer. You know, so you don't turn him down. He was a good player, not sure what position. They came in, lined up at defensive line, and then all of a sudden started growing. And, you know, our weight program blew him up, and all of a sudden he's the best player in the country.
Well, one of the best in the NFL. Yeah. Did you watch Russell last night?
I did. That was – he's ridiculous.
Isn't he?
He is absolutely ridiculous. Great kid. And I can remember a GM, we were playing in a championship game, and a GM before the game said, you know, guys like Russell can really have a great career in Canada. I said, Russell will have a great career in the NFL. And he said, wow, nobody that size has ever made it. I said, you watch film? I mean, no, he never. Nobody ever tips the ball. He had one tip all year. You know, he moves. He throws through lanes. He's accurate. He can extend plays forever. He can win with his feet. And that ball's always accurate. He's special. He really is.
He is so good on the move. And you saw him win it last night with that scramble. And he is ultra talented. Barry Alvarez with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, a thought here. You know the Nebraska program. You love the Nebraska program. And I don't know how much you pay attention to what's going on back here as far as the fan base, but folks want it now, and you as a Nebraska alum want them to do well, obviously, to a degree. But what is your thought or advice with just there's frustration here because it's not happening in year two?
You have to be patient. You have the right man in place. Scott Frost understands Nebraska. You have to understand Nebraska. You have to know the plan. You know, Coach Osborne had the plan. Coach Devaney established it. Coach Osborne took it to another level. Scott was there. You have the right man in place. Just be patient. He'll get that job done.
That's my feeling, just covering this program for a while, and Scott's anxious to get it done. I want you to put your college football playoff committee member hat back on if you can. We've talked about Ohio State. What do you think of Burrow and LSU?
I'm really happy for him. You know, I had the opportunity, they asked me to come down and speak at their clinic last year, and I had a chance to watch their spring ball, and Burrow came over and made a point to come over and visit with me. And, of course, I knew his father when he was at Nebraska, and then when he was with, you know, he's with Frankie now still at Ohio U, and had a nice visit with him, but really impressed with him and watching him play, and he's taken that team to a different level. He became a leader on that team as soon as he got there. It was very impressive, and it's impressive to watch him play and how he competes and understands the system. And I really had the sense, and I told Coach Ogeron as I watched spring practice, you know, there are many places where you go in the spring and you look at the body, the people sitting in that meeting room that have a chance to win the national championship, but you have enough talent in here to win. It's about doing all the small things and having the right leadership, et cetera. And I've been impressed how they've developed.
He is incredible, and us flipping back and forth between your game and LSU, and it was cool to see Joe do his thing. Last thought: how often do you keep in touch with Coach Solich? I know he's working on that MAC win record.
Yeah, I talk to him occasionally. You know, we both get tied up.
Yeah,
so he gets focused pretty good on his season, and I do the same thing. But we stay in contact.
That's Barry Alvarez. Coach, we'll see you Saturday. Safe travels, and thanks for a few minutes again.
Okay, absolutely. Have a good day.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Now we're back here, winding down this first hour. It's Hail Varsity Radio weekend. High above the rail yard here in the offices of Hail Varsity and Herd at Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. Damon Barr, give Damon a follow on Twitter at Damon Barr, two R's, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Mark Skurs. We're staring at the front of Pinnacle Bank Arena. Big time win last night for Nebraska.
How about that?
They were able to get it rolling.
The first one in the Hoiberg era.
That's right. We eat a Hoiberger over at the Graduate, and what happens?
That's good.
They destroy South Dakota State.
That's
17-point win for Coach Hoiberg.
Actually out-rebounded South Dakota State, too.
They did?
By one.
Hey, I'll take it.
Might be the only time this year that they out-rebound anybody.
Nebraska,
that's okay.
35-71 from the floor. That was nice. They shot 49% from the field, 37% from three. Gotta love that. They had a season high in three makes last night. Cam Mack, that guy's so good, so talented.
24 points for him. Deshaun Burke with 17. Cheatham with 17. Kevin Cross, love his attitude, man. 10 points for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Eiffel Tower, Ivan the Terrible, was able to pull down 12 rebounds last night. But you knew that was – you knew you were going to get a better showing than the Riverside.
We didn't know. You didn't know if you would. You hoped you would.
Well,
and you did.
You're going to come back. And then he had the Southern Utah loss that was a double overtime tearjerker.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. What was interesting about watching the game is, and I was watching it with just a casual fan that doesn't really follow.
Right.
But he knows basketball, right? He played basketball. And he was just like, he's like, oh, my God. He's like, those guys really get out and run.
Yeah.
He's like, holy crap. He's like,
they can get a rebound, they can get out and run.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, you know, to a guy that doesn't even care about Nebraska, but he was impressed by the pace of play. He was impressed by the style. He's like, he was literally saying, wow, you using like superlatives. Like, holy crap, that's a totally different team. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, if they can piece it all together. It's basically a pickup. It's like a pickup team.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, they're not a team yet. They're not. It's just a bunch of individual dudes that are trying to figure out how to be a team.
Well, good on Coach Hoiberg, Doc, and company for getting that first win last night. Hour two coming up, getting ready for Nebraska, Wisconsin weekend edition. Hail Varsity continues. Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp on the way. We're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to an hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here in the rail yard in the home office. Hail Varsity Herd at offices high above the rail yard. Things are getting kicked off. Some red beers are being poured. The music is on. And it is another weekend of college football. This was supposed to be one of the marquee weekends.
It still is.
You're right. Minnesota and Iowa are big.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
The other West teams. Few folks milling around right now. You know what sounds amazing right now is some bacon.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bacon, some eggs, maybe a little steak and eggs. That'd be very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's cranking up any bacon right now or not, but he knows how to. We welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine and managing editor and author extraordinaire Brandon Vogel. Dream Like a Champion. Him and John Cook wrote just a fantastic book. Brandon Vogel with us. Vogues, how's your morning?
Going well. No bacon up here on the sixth floor of the Memorial Stadium press box, but something bigger. The chili crocs were being fired as I got here. So,
ooh,
you know, it's a big
game.
It's a
chili and cinnamon rolls kind of a day.
Chili and cinnamon roll day. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That'll work. Brandon, Nebraska, Wisconsin, I think if we had talked about this game in August, I think there'd be a lot more fanfare, a little more.
We did.
Well, yeah. the sheen has sort of worn off, hasn't it? Like, Can Nebraska, if they get a W today, does it restore some of the luster, or do you feel like the fan base at large has kind of written off the year as just like, you know what, I'll watch the game, but that's kind of it. I'm not investing anything else emotionally.
No, I think it seems like more of a wait and see. So, like, a win here would be pretty massive on that front, because then all of a sudden you're like, well, if you can beat Wisconsin, you know, you should have a shot against Iowa. I think everyone still thinks the Maryland game is one that Nebraska should have an advantage in. So then you're looking at, you know, 7-5 is at least on the table, if still not the most likely outcome. And, you know, maybe big picture, you think back to kind of what you thought in August, and 7-5 kind of seemed like a baseline. But given how the season's unfolded, like, getting there and showing at least that progress in the wins column would be pretty massive.
Brandon Vogel is with us, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. It would be massive, and the fan base, the team, the coaches need something good to happen here, and it's been such a struggle. There's been drama. There's been missed expectations. There's been second half, I don't want to call them collapses, but you've been up three times this year, double digits, and you've been unable to close the deal. What do you think Garrett Nelson brings to the game today? What do you think the personality of Garrett Nelson brings to this football team? He was awarded the black shirt on Monday.
Well, can he play fullback if Nebraska wants to go in the I formation?
He sure as hell could.
He certainly seems to have the mindset for it, and you know, and he brings that on the defensive side as well. Like, in the times that we've gotten to see him play this year, there's been no kind of questioning of the effort and the want to. He should still look like a true freshman that he is at certain times as well. But I think that's kind of the battle Nebraska's waging right now is what do you do with those kind of guys? Because you heard the term vast majority again this week, and you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the week. There's no question where Garrett Nelson falls on the side of that divide. He is part of the vast majority, and he's probably near the top of the class in terms of what they want from everyone on the team. And, you know, at this point in the season, with the way things have gone, with what Nebraska needs to do just to get bowl eligible, it seems like a good time to kind of, okay, if that's what we're looking for, we're going to go there and we're going to live with the other pieces that come with it. Because in a lot of cases, you're going to be a little bit younger with some of those guys. So Garrett's reaction to getting his black shirt was kind of classic Nebraska stuff. And really, I thought it's one of the best moments of the season so far.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio as we get set for Nebraska and Wisconsin. And we were talking about it a little bit in the first hour, Brandon. It's kind of like, you know, with Wisconsin coming in, they have probably like 40 Garrett Nelsons, right? Like, it's sort of like Frost just kind of making a statement of that's the standard. That's what everybody has to be like, because that's the only way Nebraska competes in the division, in the conference, and nationally, isn't it?
I think it absolutely is. You look at the teams that have kind of run this division recently, Wisconsin mostly, Iowa got there once, Northwestern got there once, and they're all kind of doing it the same way. In Minnesota, having a two-game lead on everybody at this point, they got there in a very similar fashion too. Like the threshold.